The subject is about balance. The very affirmation which I made you repeat after me seemed to contradict the very subject which we are going to talk about. O Lord, teach me to think of thee until thou dost become my only thought. Where is the balance? Or further he says, sleeping, dreaming, waking, working, meditating, chanting, let my soul constantly hum, O God, God, God. Now I asked that very question. And one of our most busy person in the headquarters, Sahaj Jamata. He was the right arm of our greatest mind in self-realization, Taramata, who edited every single word of our guru in perfect English and perfect expression of our guru's teaching. Paramahansa Yogananda said of two people in the world he would have rather talked to was Sri Yukteswar, his guru, and Taramata. And Sahaj Jamata was working a minimum of 18 hours a day. And I witnessed this. I knew she became, I chose her as my counselor one day. So great, that soul is. And I said, Sahaj Jamata, you're working night and day now. How can you think of God? He said, you don't think of God. You feel the presence of God. But you have to educate yourself for a great many years to soothe the great net of wisdom to gradually collect all your individual thoughts and focus them in one direction. And once your thoughts become powerful enough in God, that with the mind, it's switched into the soul awareness and there is no more effort. As Sahaj Jamata said to me, I still have to, I'm not Dharma, I said. I still have to make an effort. Dharma is endlessly in the presence of God. So you don't have to think of somebody standing in front of you. You know him. So we find today in the Bible the perfect example how Jesus arrived into a village and he entered a house where there were two sisters. One was known as Mary, not the virgin, but this lady was called Mary, and she had a sister called Martha. As Jesus sat and began to expound his great divine wisdom, Mary remained by him and Martha kept running in every possible direction, preparing the food and doing everything in a very agitated way. So finally she was fed up to be doing all the work. She went to Jesus and said, please, can't you get my sister out of here and ask her to help me to do all that work? And Jesus gave her a very interesting answer. He said, and he answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, it seems strange, but here the word of Paramahansa Yogananda. He say, the devotee should possess the qualities of both, Martha and Mary, in order to reach perfection. The spiritual aspirant that serves God and man equally soon receive enlightenment and divine grace. That is that you cannot be materialistic. Only you have to commune with God every day. So the spiritual aspirant that serves God and man in your daily life equally soon receive enlightenment and divine grace. Martha served Jesus and pleased him, but Mary served Jesus spiritually by listening to his words. Thereby she pleased him more. Now we have, you find that in the monastic order. There are the word alcoholic, and there are those who want to meditate all the time. And both are wrong. That's what we are learning here. As Maria Mata told me one day, she said, yeah, you're a Sagittarian, right? You are one of those fellows who jump from one extreme to the other. So we are here to catch you in the middle. And it's about what the spiritual life is. Martha was happy in serving Jesus, but she was not absorbing his spirit. Mary did her utmost to be one with the spirit of Jesus. Jesus did not want Mary to imitate Martha's material ways. He would have preferred to see Martha follow in Mary's footsteps by placing God consciousness first in importance. You see, when you begin to attune yourself with God, everything balances itself. You remember how our guru, as a young boy, he was listening to his guru, but in the meantime, he was worried about the proper timing of catching his train. He did not trust the cosmic consciousness of his guru that he would release him in the proper time.
So as long as he maintained that attitude, Schilteswar let him go at the last possible minute, that dog grew it around like a madman to catch his train. And it's only when he trusted his guru, listened to his word of wisdom, absorbed himself, and said, okay, now go. You see? So as you begin to be more and more involved with God, he begins to plan your chaotic life, our chaotic life. Without him, we are just a mess. We are in constant, I call him PC, perpetual commotion. And there is a lot of people like that, where wherever they go, they create commotion around them. And then stop right. Everything, when you are with God, you recognize a man of God by the peace, the way he acts, with the kind of peace. Wherever he goes, he works, he disturbs no one. Not many of those, isn't it? He would have allowed Mary to help Martha in her household duty if Martha had been doing her duty with the thought of God, instead of a state of mental restlessness. Jesus could have immediately, he knew, come here. And after he would have sent both of them when he felt like it. But too often, we make an ego trip. They say that hell is paved with good intention. We want to do, I see, the trick. We all have a full suitcase of games and gimmicks. As you grow spiritually, your eye get bigger, and you begin to have binoculars in your eyes. You begin to see all the tricks of people. They are going to do it very well. They are going to dedicate themselves perfectly if it's their own idea. That's their own idea. If there is their own idea, they will kill themselves. But try to interfere the slightest to what they are doing, and you have an explosion. You see? So that's because one become attached to his actions. And that's, my dear, that's how Maya will keep you here forever. Everyone should be able to play the roles of Martha and Mary alternately, in order to reach perfection. That is, whether he's living in a family or in a hermitage, he should do his duties with the thoughts of God, and a spiritual duty of meditating on God without being distracted by material duties. Many mothers come to me and say, how long do you meditate to? You know, during a day? So about 2 or 3 hours a day. And what is going to happen to me with my children? I say, your 5 minutes with God is worth an hour of mine. Because your children are first. You don't try to imitate the monk or the nun. The time you have, which God allows you to have, may be short. And therefore, it's the same. You don't have to spend hours before God, but you have to meditate deeply, intensely for a few minutes so that you can carry the thoughts of God during the day. Master says you must often stop and say, Father or Mother, I have not forgotten you. And the Master said, then God comes and drinks from the fountains of your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Just time to time stop, say, my Lord, I have not forgotten you. I tell you, when I go in front of all those masters, I said this morning, I went to each one of them, I said, you will bless me that on that podium, otherwise I'm not going to make it. This morning I went to each one of us and asked their blessing to be here this morning. Yeah, at 7 o'clock I was not sure I was going to make it. And sure enough, I'm here. They take care of you. So no member of a family or a hermitage, by pretending to meditate, should neglect his material duties. And no member should disturb another who is really engrossed in God. So if the wife is more meditative, and you see that meditation is really changing your wife for the very best, when she's meditated, then cook yourself, cook your own meal. It is better to cook your own meal and have a marvelous wife or a husband than she does everything grudgingly because you are not sharing with him. To be married, my dear, requires an enormous amount of wisdom from the husband. The wife usually always sacrifices themselves more. Now from the Bhagavad Gita, very similar. Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, remain immersed in yoga, perform all actions, forsaking attachments to their fruits, and remain indifferent to success and failure while performing all actions. That is, when you are sick, do not identify yourself with sickness. Keep repeating, I'm well. I spent 3 to 4 hours last night. My subconscious mind is so impregnated with scientific affirmation, I just have to lay down, half asleep, and the repetition goes constantly Thy beloved God, thy power is flowing through me. I'm well. No matter how awful you feel, you came up from me, I'm well, I'm well, I'm well. And he said, one day you will break through. You will reach the superconscious door where the every power you need is waiting for you. They say, in the above stanza, the Bhagavad Gita advises every devotee to be immersed in inner mental union with the spirit while performing spiritual meditative activities. The Bhagavad Gita further says the devotee should not concentrate with attachments on the result of his meditative or mundane activities. Too many people expect too many results in meditation, and therefore they quit after a few years. I saw many monks after many years quit. Oh, well, I mean, after so many years I get nothing. Sure, you don't get, you seemingly get nothing. You don't see the transformation. But while doing his best, should remain unconcerned as to their outcome. To perform action without attachments to their results produce a mental evenness in the devotee. Perfect mental evenness is called yoga. For in this equanimity, the soul is united with the changeless spirits. The worldly man performs all actions concentrating on their fruits. His peace is easily disturbed by failure or success. Such an individual works for himself and not for God, and thus is elated by success and dejected by failure. Because of his attachment to little things, he cannot free his mind to concentrate on the omnipresent spirit. So the key word, non-attachment. The thing now, again, listen, listen to my heart song, I will never forget thee, I will never forsake thee. There are two things in life which will give you gradually, through the development of your life, the fulfillment of your life, a mastery over yourself, because mastery over yourself has to be first, because you have to bear all the karmic retribution from the past. Therefore, you must develop such mind, such a powerful mind and such a powerful strength that whatever test you go in life, you are not affected. That can only be done as follows. The master say, when I will be physically gone, the teaching will be the guru. For I have impregnated every word of this teaching with the spirit of my father. Therefore, as you spend 30 minutes every day pouring within you words of wisdom, they place themselves inside your computers, in subconscious mind, and gradually you begin to have a vast library of spiritual knowledge. And then you will develop, reawaken the intuitive wisdom of yourself. Intellectualism, if it is studied from a great master and you study it deeply, gradually transform itself into intuition. Second, meditation. The master said, then, in meditation, because of the great peace, everything you need to know begins to place itself in front of you. Now, you see those gurus coming in America. They are extraordinarily talkative. You realize our guru said that when Sri Yukteswar was in his ashram, no one was allowed to say a single word unless addressed. And even the master said when they move, Sri Yukteswar began to calm, to slow down, calm them down. When you are in the front of a true guru, you don't say a single word. If he don't talk to you the whole day, he don't say a word. If he don't talk to you for a week, he don't talk to me. If he don't talk to you for a month, he don't talk. Sri Ramakrishna did that to Swami Vivekananda because he was a great intellectual at first. And he wanted to teach him more devotion. And they said to Vivekananda, don't you mind the indifference of your guru? He said, no. He knows what he's doing. He was reorganizing his mind. Therefore, meditation will give within you a great inner equilibrium which will place all those beautiful data to know what is needed, not great intellectual question, what you need in your daily life. That's why the subject today, balancing your material life and spiritual life, is impossible unless you have God guiding you how to do it. The practical application of the science of yoga, when applied in our daily life, the Master said, teach us to attune our lives with the uplifting cosmic laws of harmony in the universe. The very foundation of the universe and everything in it rests upon the laws of equilibrium. It is why in the Hindu Sanskrit, the etymology of nature is known as Prakriti, or that which can work beautifully by itself. Now, what does that mean? The sage of India, as well as any great civilization, have taught through the millenniums of the structure of these laws of harmony. They revealed to those who could understand a play of unseen forces, unseen controllers of everything living and moving in this universe. A force made of cosmic rhythm, ceaselessly at work on a process of creation, preservation, and destruction, being in perfect balance between positive, neutral, and negative rhythm. They are known as the Om vibration. Now, if you wonder what Om mean, those three letters, A, U, M, creation, Brahma, preservation, Vishnu, destruction, Shiva, positive, neutral, negative. Those three cosmic currents endlessly, 24 hours a day, works your 20,000, your 30,000 billion cells on every thought, every word, every feeling, and every action you do. Therefore, only to the degree you discover and understand how this cosmic rhythm structures your thoughts, feelings, and your action, to the same degree through the process of intelligent and wise actions, you gradually remove all sufferings in life, or by unthinking, unwise actions, increase our suffering by not knowing its source. The moment you think negatively, you know what you have done? You have allowed cosmic destructive vibration to pass through your mind. You are not responsible of evil. God created it. Therefore, the moment you're in tune, you allow those destructive thoughts to come into you, you begin to disintegrate. So those are known as the three gunas, or guni, that which works and guides imperceptibly. So we are under cosmic dictature, have no doubt about it. Is God a dictator? Yes, he is. He has made his laws. Either you flow two waves going together, flow harmoniously. When they go opposite direction, they crash with each other. So the Master say, here is the penalty of those who refuse to allow their life to be permeated with divine laws of God. He say, on this stage of life, most people behave like puppet actors, manipulated by environments, prenatal instinct, and karmic destinies created in former lives. They never know what part they can play successfully, nor do they understand how they can harmonize their own duties with the general plan of the cosmic drama. There is a plan for your life. I have told you many, many times, at the beginning of life, God has many scripts you can play. We are all movie actors, and he asks you, what kind of role do you want to play? You want to play your own? Yes, sir, I want to play my own. I have the right to do my own will. Therefore, I'm going to go play my own role. And then come the 2x4 and the pounding of life. Then God say, how about giving me 25% of your life? Okay, about 50, about 75. And he's not satisfied until you give him 100. When you give him 100% of yourself, you, as you will see, he give you the best script possible. You become a child of God again. You have that, we all have that accursed free will. But that free will, without wisdom, we haven't gotten the free will. We are just humanoids. Program, as I have told you many times, remember that. We are infinite consciousness. Consciousness enter into the brain. If it remains from here to here, you are one with God. Here you are one with creation, but the moment it descends further to the heart, it becomes known as super consciousness or the soul. And the moment the consciousness goes further down, it becomes subconscious or ego consciousness. Your entire life, the masses of unenlightened people are totally humanoids. They are manipulated by all the computers of previous incarnations, past memories, which automatically control their life. It's only when you lift your consciousness to higher state, so God is here, not down here. That is why he say there is only one force in the universe and no one can dictate to it. Man can only submit and surrender and let him use it. Use him. Herein lie the greatest blessings, the ultimate in human experience. In submission to God's will lie the secret of strength. Now if you feel that you are too weak, you cannot control your bad habits, you can't motivate yourself to have greater devotion for God, you can't propel yourself to be a greater person, there you have your answer. In submission to God's will lie the secret of strength. And what does that mean? That means to apply wisdom in your daily life. Lives which are governed solely by the laws of cosmic causation or the karmic laws, the hidden player of the game of life, and not by true wisdom, lose their independence and cannot say yes or no when they are hurled to the righteous path or the evil way. The first thing Vivekananda saw when he came in America in 1900, he said, you Western people are funny. You are fighting. You do not want to lose your individuality. My dear, you have got none. Only when you have soul consciousness, yes, then you have a true individuality. That's why the mother say, wake up. It is never too late to reconstruct your life. Analyze what you are and what your soul appointed tasks are, so that you can make yourself what you should be. You have talents and powers that you have not used. When I see the youth today, I look at them, I feel like being multi-untalented. I see that youth today, the talents they have in entertainment, in everything, are able those people are. If only they would use those great talents to perfect themselves. So I say, you have all the power you need. There is nothing greater than the power of the mind. Resurrect your mind from the little habits that keep you worthy. Anchor your mind in God, so that you can smile the perpetual smile, that God inspires strong smile of balance, recklessness, a $1 million smile that none can take away from you. Always know that every day there is a fresh opportunity on the part of the human ego to gather more and more exploits of heroism. Meet everybody and every circumstances on the battlefield of life with the courage of a hero. and the smile of a conqueror. The true disciples of God are not weaklings. They are, as divine warriors, that always stand their ground firmly on the battlefield of life. Which shall it be? Defeat or victory? When you want to see people defeat, go to the hospital. You see millions of people who are just decaying. To me, I call hospital chambers of torture. I was blessed in this lifetime. The last time I was in the hospital was 45 years ago. And that was once too many. So what victory do you have to achieve? I'm going to clean all my sins and all my problems and all my... There is only one victory you need. It's the victory of your soul. It's the most important thing in your life. Every night, analyze yourself to see if you are becoming stagnant. And do you want to know why you become stagnant? It is because you let circumstances override you. You dwell too much on petty things and have no time to think of God. It is so easy to waste time and forget the kingdom of God. What's the worry about the news? The news of tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next century are already printed. The movie is already done. We are moving, our solar system is moving into compartment of space-time continuum where everything is already made. The next plane crash, the next call Toyota is going to get, all that stuff, everything is already written. So why worry about the news? You forget about it. Everything, the movie is already made. But you change your place in that destiny. You are the only form of life in creation who has the choice to just flow with the whole damn thing or begin to make a stand and redirect its life by not being affected in the present century you are living. Otherwise, you have no time for God. You are so full of what's going to happen with Lebanon, what's going to come with Iraq, what's going to happen with Russia. It won't do you any good to think about it. But why think about it? Make more room for God. You came in this world not to lose yourself, but to find your true self. And you are absolutely the greatest sinner if you have forgotten that you must win the victory over your little self and win the kingdom of God. After all, your life is not yours. I had my friend Santo Chananda one day who came here. He's a top mountain climber expert. So we went into the mountain over there, and there were some pretty heavy faces, man. I hadn't been so scared in my life, but he made me climb up one of those. I trusted him, but I tell you, I lost about 10 years. And when I came back, Ananda Moy blasted the hell out of me. He said, you have no right to put your life in jeopardy. Your life belongs to your guru and to serve people, not to yourself. I know it was a pretty hard thing to say, but that's true. Your life don't belong to you either. You have a mission. Each one of you, you have a divine mission. The master said, no one, he said, as everyone has been assigned a divine mission, if we like it or not. Wisdom makes us realize that none of us are free to act or live his own way according to the will of his own ego, unless he's willing to suffer the painful consequences. God sent you here for a purpose. You came on earth to accomplish a divine mission. Realize how important that is. Are you acting in a harmony with that purpose? And that purpose is, do not allow the narrow ego to obstruct your attainments of infinite goal. Now, we poor little mortal, why should we be assigned to attain an infinite goal? Why? Because we all come from a cosmic empire of bliss. We are all gods, but right now we are playing the poor little human beings with all his weaknesses. Analyze now the kind of life you are living. This analyze very clearly what I'm going to tell you. A man without any spiritual development is totally dependent upon the world. The result of such a man is zero development. The worldly requirement is 100%. When a man is 25% developed, he still needs 75% of the world for attaining peace. When a man is 50% developed, he needs 50% of the world. When his spiritual development increases to 75%, his need from the world decreases to 25%. Therefore, the spiritual development and avoidance of suffering are inversely proportional that is the law. So the more you suffer, I mean, the more you depend upon the world. So if you want to get rid of your suffering, race toward God and fulfill the quota God wants from you. I have told you, you made only one mistake in life. Once you opened that autobiography of a yogi, a flash took your picture, a poster appeared on the computer of God, and it said, "Was your pictures wanted, dead or alive?" You have heard it. Don't ever think you can escape. There is no great escape there. You don't know what you've done when you open a autobiography of a yogi, believe me. You have heard it. Therefore, the master say, make your choice. He say, when man properly places his sense of identity, he leaves behind all compulsive patterns. But so long as he remains confused in his ordinary state of spiritual amnesia, he will know the fetters of environmental laws. God created each man as a soul of endowed of individuality. His freedom is final and immediate, if he so will. It depends not on outer, but inner victories. A divine balance must be established between body, mind, and soul. Each one is extremely vital for your spiritual development, and none can be ignored. You have to fight. You have to become a fighter. Since I have started to have so many problems with my body the past 24 days now, I do the energizing 3 times a day. There's tremendous amount of energy. Practice R of certificating affirmation. You have to become a fighter. You must accept no negative state of existence. Immediately fight. God has given you a soul, a mind, and a body, which we should try to develop uniformly. If you lead a life dominated by worldly influences, do not let the world impose its delusion on you any longer. You should control your life and sports. You should be the ruler of your mental kingdom. Fears, worries, discontentment, and unhappiness all result from a life uncontrolled by wisdom. True wisdom consists only when a man can make himself do what he should do in accordance with God's wisdom, that he becomes really free. Think what amazing change would happen to man. We were to allow his soul and its quality of intuition, omniscience, peace, bliss, calmness, self-control, discrimination, and love to rule the kingdom of his body and mind. You have been a beggar too long. To become again conscious of your kingship with God requires time, discipline, and meditation. Nature, all nature's treasures and forces wait upon and willingly serve those who realize their divine identity. You may have been a very successful person in previous life, make a lot of money. In this lifetime, you feel very frustrated because you know you have the talent, you know you have the capacity, and yet you cannot break through. Why? Simple. This kind of training has outlasted usefulness. You make all the effort to succeed, you don't. God wants you toward Him. And once God wants to pull you toward Him, you can try everything you can, you will not break through. So if you have great talent in life, it does not work, start to analyze your life if you really want God. You want glory, fame, and money. Or you prefer a simple life, and God is going to manifest in your life. Because the compromise, the coexistence of a wealthy life and God, it is easier for a camel to go through a hole of a needle, the rich man to enter heaven. Jesus said it. Therefore, body, mind, and soul are interrelated, the Master said. You have a duty to the body, keeping it fit, a duty to the mind, developing its powers, a duty to the soul, daily meditation on the source of your being. If you fulfill your duty to the soul, body and mind will benefit. But if you neglect the soul, eventually body and mind also will suffer. Very interesting. If only our doctor would tell that to us, eh? When you go to a doctor, you say, "Are you regularly communing with your soul?" I tell you, I shake the hand of any doctor who say that to me, you know. Even though when I got myself those tremendous infections on the nose, a German, a nose specialist look at me and say, you know, the devil is trying to destroy you. I said, do you know who I am? He said, no, I've never met you. I couldn't believe what that man said. I knew it. The evil forces were after me. And that doctor looked at me and he fell out of my chair. Therefore, the material and spiritual are but two parts of one universe and one truth. But men, by overstressing one part or the other, fail to achieve a balance. Life is expressed through a threefold way, through thoughts, desires, and actions. Guide all these three forms of expression, but they will lead you to the highest states of consciousness. That's what should be your goal. Highest states of consciousness, that's where peace is. You cannot experience the peace of the soul, the calmness of the soul, the love of the soul, the wisdom of the soul, until you have lifted yourself to a higher state of consciousness where it is waiting for you. You cannot hold on to the world with one hand and try to grab and climb up the others. You have to let go. The more you let go of the world, the faster you will move. Therefore, it's a practice, the art of living in this world without losing your inner peace of mind. In your activities, you are the creator, the preserver, and the transformer. Your will is the director. Follow the path of balance to reach the inner wondrous garden of self-realization. Now, a man who is ambitious to succeed in life and attune his will with God's wisdom, cosmic wisdom, will automatically live in peaceful harmony with the cosmic laws and therefore bypass the chain of endless karmic entanglements. The greatest example we have is Mr. and Mrs. Weaver. They are fulfilling exactly what the Bhagavad Gita is telling you. Perfectly successful in the world and spending their life helping others. The more successful you are to do as much has been given, the Bible says, it shall be much requested. And if you have never shared what you have on surplus, then you will for a long time become poor. And he said, therefore, he said, bypass the chain of endless karmic entanglement inherent to worldly success and will become a blessing to his fellow men. Worldly success without the guidance of God lead to our deep attachments, which in turn cause inner insecurity and fear to lose what you have. And this attitude robbed one of the happiness he could have experienced in life. We have so many thieves in the world today, so many murders. Why? Have you ever thought why? Because of total disequilibrium. People who have too much money and people who have too little. There is a balance to be made. The more intelligent you are, the more successful you are, the more involved you become with your society. Every county, every part should take care of one another, help one another. And the Master said the chief difference between a worldly man and a saint is that the wise man has attuned his will to the divine will. And here is the greatest example in self-realization. Rajasi Janakananda not only entered heaven, but attained cosmic consciousness. And he was a multi-millionaire. And this is what he said. He said, if we are at peace within our being, we can harmoniously carry on our duties even in the business spheres. We can accomplish admirable things in the world without necessarily clashing with others. After our day work is over, we can retire within to be with God again. That is to, when you come home, the first thing you do, you go and meditate. Now that's some discipline, isn't it? He said, of course, Rajasi Janakananda attained the state of samadhi. So I talked to some of the businessmen who worked with him. He drove them completely crazy. He would not be in his office until 10 o'clock in the morning. He spent from 6:30 to 9:30 in deep meditation. And he said, eventually, even in the business world, we can perform all our duties with the full consciousness of God's presence. If we are calm and peaceful, come what may, success or failure, we remain even-minded, feeling the certainty that his will has been done. If we could gain the whole world and have nothing else but the world, you would not find happiness. Earthly possession cannot bestow peace and joy. only God can. What is meant here, a call for simplification. Live simply. Do not get caught in the machine of the world. It is too exacting. By the time you get what you are seeking, your nerves are gone, the heart is damaged, and the bones are aching. Isn't that true? Laugh at the world. Have happiness now. Do not try to show off in any way. Most people suffer because they live beyond their means. When I was in the world, credit cards did not exist. Hallelujah. I never bought anything in credit. I bought things when I had the money, and amazingly enough, when I first came in a spiritual path, I got $20 a month. But when I analyzed with all the money I was making and I gave to my wife, I had 80 Swiss francs, which is the equivalent of $20 a month. So I have the same salary in the world, working every day like a maniac to make money, I got $20. I became a monk, I got $20. That was amazing, you know? But I got something more, believe me. When I came in America, I thought I was going to live on straw, and so was Ananda Moy, we changed ID. I became a monk. I mean, I thought I was going to live in a cell with straw and water and bread. When I saw I was going to live in this, I said, my God, what's happened to me? I become a king from one day to the other. You know? So once you let God take care of you, as Rajasic Janakananda did, he said, then you remain peaceful. Otherwise, the more possession you have, the more fearful you come to be robbed. And the divine physician is keeping you in the hospital of earthly delusion until your disease for material things is cured. Then he will let you go home. Protect your soul from the mad dance of sorrow producing desires. Learn to escape desire chains. Realize that you do not need so many material things, which creates only misery, by searching within your soul until you find their true happiness and lasting peace and bliss. Thus you will become a bliss millionaire. To be calmly active and actively calm, the Prince of Peace sitting on the throne of poise, directing the kingdom of activity, is to be spiritually wealthy. Too much activity make one automaton, and too much calmness make one lazy and unpractical. Peace is the enjoyment of life activities, of life, and activity the expression of life. A balance between activity of the West and the calmness of the East is needed. So, as the Master said, from India, we learn meditation. And India will learn to be more practical and become more constructive in taking care of their body. We have a body, a mind, and a soul. If you neglect any one of those, you are going to be in trouble. So, my dear, two things you begin to do every day. You study your lessons every single day to put all that knowledge in you. It will give you in time what you need. And then practice meditation and read the book of God alone. As I say Thursday, I don't suggest that you get that book. I say, get it! In that book is every possible attitude you need to move quickly into the spiritual path. You talk about spiritual secrets. I've never read in my life. In fact, I cannot read more than a page at a time. So rich it is in spiritual understanding. So read God alone and read the book of Paramahansa Yogananda every single day. And you will see your life changing. And you will see God begin to plan your life and balance everything. By yourself, you can do it.
Heavenly Father, receive this offering.
May it help to spread.
I enter the self-realization. blessed in self-conversation, for all truth in souls.